Good day, everyone, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. So you walk into the voting booth, and you have two options, candidate A or candidate B. You may want to look at a third candidate, somebody who represents your ideals and policy priorities, but maybe you don't think that person has much of a chance of winning, and you fear that by casting a vote for them, you might be just kind of wasting it, making your vote meaningless. That's the way we have become accustomed to going into the voting booth here in Michigan and in most of America. But there are other voting systems out there that let voters kind of have their cake and eat it too. Ranked choice voting is a system that allows people to rank their favorite candidates, preventing votes from being wasted, even those made for a less popular candidate. So you go back to this scenario where you have candidate A and candidate B and candidate C who you don't think has much of a chance. Maybe you can put a little of your support behind all of them. It's a little different than the way that we've become used to voting in this country, but it's something that's been talked about for a while, and there are some places that are starting to experiment with it. We've got two people here with us today to give us more context on ranked choice voting and to talk about whether it's possible here in Michigan. Rob Ritchie is with Fair Vote, an organization that promotes voting reforms that it says will make democracy more functional. Rob, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen.
Also with us is State Representative Regina Weiss, a Democrat from Oak Park. She is sponsoring legislation that would make ranked choice voting easier to implement in cities in our state. Regina, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. Happy to be here.
Okay, so Rob, we're going to start with you. Tell us what ranked choice voting is and explain, maybe better than I did, how it exactly works.
Well, thanks, Stephen. I think you presented the issue well, right? If you only have two choices, voting for one of them is about as expressive as you need to be, right? One's going to get more votes, and that's the winner, 55% to 45%, what have you. But we have a lot of elections, you know, primary elections, local elections, and some general elections where there's a third party and an independent, where there's more than two choices. And only ticking one box next to one of them leaves, you know, information you have within you on the table and actually can result in less representative outcomes. So the idea of ranked choice voting is actually quite common, recommended in Robert's Rules of Order, used by, you know, thousands of private elections. All the political parties in Canada pick their leaders with it. It's been used nationally for a century in a couple countries like Australia and Ireland. And it's used now in presidential elections in, you know, Alaska and Maine, congressional elections in those states now, and you know, more than 50 cities. And so the idea is that you are not limited to just a single choice. You can indicate preferences. So first, second, third. You don't have to. Those preferences, in a sense, are backup preferences in case your first choice is someone that isn't a strong candidate, but you're expressing your honest preferences. And then you add up all the first choices, that's your vote. If someone gets more than half, you have an outright winner. You don't need to do anything more. It's 55% in the first round, what have you. But if it's, say, 40 to, you know, 30 to 30 or whatever the result is, then you say, well, you don't have a winner yet. And then the candidate in last place is knocked out. They are eliminated. And those votes go to their backup choice, to the second choice. You add those second choices to the remaining candidates. You see if you have a majority winner. You kind of rinse and repeat. If you get down to two, you're going to get back to kind of this idea of an instant runoff. It's sort of like a traditional runoff election happening without having to conduct multiple elections. You can just do it in a single trip to the polls.
So talk about why you think this is better than the system we have now, not just in terms of, I guess, making people feel as though they can express better choice, but also in terms of outcome, does it really change the way that elections unfold and that we pick winners?
I think it really does, and it does in a very simple way, in the idea that now you as a voter can do more than just vote for one, and the candidates know that, right? So that now they now have a different reason to talk with you more, to learn from you. Because even if you've settled on your first choice and there's three other candidates running, they want to earn your second choice, right? So there's sort of an extension of a conversation. So that's sort of a 100% incentive. That's sort of true across all races with ranked choice voting. And sometimes it does result in a changed outcome. So that happens less often. But the first change is, I think, quite an important one. And so, you know, the winners in ranked choice elections not only are, you know, we're confirming that they are the majority choice, but we are also creating incentives for them to talk with more voters. And so we often see them getting 65-70% of people will rank them first, second, or third. And that's a kind of a meaningful engagement that the system incentivizes. So the outcome change, let's say a general election, and sort of classically, any time that a third-party candidate or an independent that people associate with one side or the other is running, the immediate calculation is like, well, what does that person have to say? What might they be bringing into the conversation that's new, or what voters might be inspired to participate? It's like, whose vote are they going to cut into? What quote-unquote spoiler impact might they have? And there really can be a spoiler impact. You know, certain candidates do cut into one of the major parties more. You know, Green Party candidates traditionally cut into Democrats, and Libertarians more into Republicans, so depends on the situation. And that kind of whole conversation about, oh, is that candidate just a spoiler, kind of goes away. The voters don't have to rank, right? So they may not, you know, rank anyone after they vote for that third party candidate, but at least the very fact of their candidacy doesn't mean that outcomes might be affected by the candidate.
Yeah. Okay, Representative Weiss, I want to bring you into the conversation here. Tell us about this slate of bills that you have introduced.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. I introduced House Bill 5645 along with their two other bills that have been introduced, 5644 and 5646, my colleagues, Rep. Tanadar and Rep. Ayash, that would essentially correct some language within Michigan election law and within the Home Rule City Act that will allow for the implementation of ranked choice voting. Currently, under Michigan electional law, ranked choice voting is explicitly allowed if locals elect to do so, local governments. However, there's language within both Michigan election law and the Home Rule City Act that make it impossible to implement, specifically around the ways in which elections are conducted and language which can appear on the ballot, which only allow for a traditional type of election. There is no language that allows for ranked choice voting. And so the bills that we introduced simply correct that and allow for that language to be implemented so that local governments can implement ranked choice voting if they choose to do so, which local governments in Michigan have indicated that they want to. Voters have indicated that they want to, both within recently within the city of Ann Arbor, and all the way back in 2004, in a city that I represent, in Ferndale, the voters have indicated that they want to implement ranked choice voting for local elections, but they really have not been able to do so.
And what do you imagine are the prospects for this legislation in the current legislature? I mean, I know it's hard to get things done sometimes in Lansing. What's the reaction so far from your colleagues?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we've seen both at the national level and at the Michigan level that there has been really an attack on voting rights and voting access. And, you know, ranked choice voting being an extension of voting rights and voting access, so making the process even more democratic. I think in the current legislature, Republican majority in the House and the Senate, it's very unlikely that this legislation is going to move or go anywhere. However, you know, we want to continue having the conversation and keep on pushing for it because we do have local governments right now, local voters who have indicated that they want to use this process. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep pushing it, but doesn't seem likely to move at this point.
And one example of this form of voting here in Michigan is right here in Metro Detroit, in East Point. Representative Weiss, can you talk a little about what's going on there and how it has changed democracy?
Yeah, so East Point is the one exception in the entire state that actually has implemented a ranked choice voting system. And the reason why the city of East Point has been able to do this is because they were mandated to by a federal judge in a case, a voting rights case, that because the city of East Point had not ever elected an African-American to their city council. And so obviously the city's majority Black. And so this judge ordered for them to implement this ranked choice voting system because ranked choice voting really does lead to making it easier for both women and minorities to get elected to office. There's been studies that have shown that. And so they were ordered to implement it and have had three elections, two regular elections and then a special election where they have implemented a ranked choice voting system. The state essentially made a carve out for East Point because of this federal rule. But so far, as I said, East Point has been the only community that has been able to implement it.
Yeah. And the thing that I always marvel at it in East Point is exactly what you pointed out, which was this fixed in a very short period of time the imbalance that the federal court had pointed out and mandated that they fix. Correlation is not necessarily causation, I know that, but I think it's hard to look at East Point and not think that ranked choice voting had a lot to do with the outcomes there.
Yeah, and I think looking at East Point, yes, and then looking beyond East Point to other communities that have implemented this across the country, other states that have implemented this, you know, as was stated, it makes it easier for more candidates to be competitive because you don't have to worry about vote splitting as much. You don't have to worry about so-called spoiler candidates. And so it makes it more likely for more candidates to be competitive and can lead to more candidates who would not have otherwise been able to get elected to actually get into office.
Yeah. Coming up next, we are going to continue this conversation about voting and elections and the idea of ranked choice voting as a possible reform. We're going to continue the conversation with Rob Ritchie and State Rep Regina Weiss, but we want to get you involved in the conversation as well. Call and tell us what you think about this idea of ranked choice voting. Would you like to be able to vote for a third candidate or more than one candidate when you go into the voting booth and ranking your choices and seeing how the outcomes play out that way? Also call and tell us if this is something you don't think would work, if you think it would confuse voters or muddle results. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media, Facebook or Twitter, put comments there, and we'll try to include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
Music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 1019 WDET,
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today on 1019 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for joining us. My guests right now are Rob Ritchie, president and CEO of FairVote, an organization that seeks better elections for all. They advance voting reforms that make democracy more functional and representative. Also with us is State Representative Regina Weiss, a Democrat from Oak Park. She represents Michigan's 27th State House District. She has introduced a slate of bills that would make it easier for jurisdictions here in Michigan to adopt ranked choice voting, which is an alternate form of balloting that that gives voters a little more choice, allows you to put your support behind more than one person at a time, and then the results are determined based on the vote count that way, as opposed to just between two candidates. As always, we want to hear from you on the phones during this conversation. Give us a call. Tell us whether you think this kind of reform makes a lot of sense, would make democracy more participatory here in Michigan. Also, give us a call and tell us if you're a little skeptical of that idea and worry that it will kind of muddle the results and the balloting. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones, 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter, put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. Before we get to listeners, I want to talk about something that happened in Massachusetts. Anthony Amor was a spokesperson for the campaign against the initiative for ranked choice voting in Massachusetts. And here's what he told Northeast Public Radio in October 2020 about why his organization was opposed to ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting is an overly and unnecessarily complicated system that actually disenfranchises many voters and leads to a vast increase in the number of ballots that are spoiled, which means are discounted in the election. It doesn't lend itself to simplicity and ease of understanding, which is key to a valid and fair election, and that's why we're opposed to it.
Now, that measure in Massachusetts failed, with about 55% of voters saying they did not want ranked choice voting. But Rob Ritchie, I want to give you a chance to respond to what Anthony Amor was saying, and specifically this question of one person, one vote. I mean, that's such a sacred part of the way we think of elections and election law in this country. Why isn't this an affront to that?
Well, yeah, and let me just start just in a high-level way. The Massachusetts measure was defeated, but we've had two statewide measures win during the last 5 years, and 18 of 20 measures have won, including the last 13 cities to pass it by an average of nearly 30 percentage points. So voters are often liking ranked choice voting, but each contest needs its own debate and discussion. So on the idea of one person, one vote, if you think back to that explanation of it, your vote is only counting for one candidate at a time, right? It's counting in the first round for your first choice, and it'll count in your second round for the first choice, unless your first choice has been defeated and is no longer in the race anymore. And then your ballot goes to your second backup choice. So one person, one vote is sort of addressed that way, and courts have looked at it repeatedly. And, you know, in Maine, a challenge was brought, and a recent appointee by Donald Trump was the judge who looked at it and did actually a really strong opinion, kind of knocking that argument down. And I think this issue, there's a lot of scare tactics that people who want to preserve the current system use, but, you know, the issue of, say, spoiled ballots, and it is just not true. You know, we are seeing, like, say, Utah, there's more than 20 cities signed up to use ranked choice voting last year, kind of voluntarily. They have a right under their state law to do so, including some of their biggest cities like Salt Lake City. 99.9% of voters cast a valid ballot in New York City, first time out of the box. A lot of absentee voting where, you know, you don't get to fix your ballot if you do something wrong. 99.7% of voters, you know, which is like basically, you know, 3 out of every 1,000 didn't cast a ballot that counted. So voters are handling it. 90% ranked in their first time out in New York. That's pretty common when people care about it. So even just a few people ranking, let alone 90%, shows that there people are taking advantage of this opportunity. And it's something that gives us more power than when we're limited to a single choice.
Hmm. Again, 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter, put comments there. Let's start today with Graham in Ann Arbor. Graham, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephen. Yeah, I'm calling because I'm a fan of ranked choice voting. I think it could really loosen the grip that the two-party system has on our politics. I'm wondering if it might introduce some other problems. Like, for example, in New York, I think we had some candidates doing what we might call some kind of a cynical alliance, saying, okay, boy, vote for me for your number one choice and vote for so-and-so for number two. kind of as a way to team up against a candidate that was winning. And so I wondered if that could unintentionally be an opportunity for people to make things less Democratic, even though it's designed to make things more Democratic.
Great question, Graham. Glad you called. Representative Weiss, I'll give you the first crack at answering, Graham.
Thanks, Graham. Appreciate that question. I think, you know, of course, under any voting system, there's always going to be campaigning and work to try to win in any way possible by candidates. And I think right now, you know, in elections where, especially particularly in municipal elections, where often you have multiple positions, where candidates are running for multiple positions, candidates already run on slates. And I actually, when I ran for city council in Oak Park, I did this. I ran on a slate with another council member and our mayor. And you know, and that is a method to try to win. And I think that's not what you just described is not that dissimilar from that. So of course that can happen, but I think generally speaking, allowing for ranked choice voting is going to make it a more democratic process overall.
Mm-hmm. Maybe ahead. I'll add just briefly to that, which is just what I wanted to share. There's a strong Michigan group called rankmyvote.org, and of course, in a Michigan sense, it's myvote.org. But they have a good sort of like, you know, frequently asked questions and things like that. So check them out. But I think like in a New York, the thing that's really nice about ranked choice voting is all has to be clear. Like it doesn't have any impact if the voters don't hear about it. So everything has to be transparent. Everything has to be, you know, voters have to go along with any recommendations that they receive. And, you know, candidates have to make that decision. Well, do I align with someone and therefore kind of shut myself off from other people? Or do I show empathy with other people but not kind of formally align? That's kind of a tactical thing. Mm. But the ongoing thread is you're just trying to connect with more voters. And that's obviously what we want our representatives to be trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Graham, again, thanks very much for the call and the comments. Let's go to Mike in Chesterfield. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey there, Stephen. Hope everybody's doing all good.
Yes. Go ahead.
So I'm glad the previous caller had actually mentioned this about New York. What they also do in New York is they also do a thing called a fusion party, where a candidate can actually appear on multiple parties. And I think that's actually how Cuomo stole some more votes in the 2018 election, was that he had his name on the ballot like about four times. Hmm. And I know personally the Libertarian who is running out there in both in 2018 and this year, his name's Larry Sharp, and he's a proud proponent for ranked choice voting. But aside from that, not only would it help third-party candidates, I think the real golden piece for ranked choice voting would actually be in all parties within primaries, because as you've seen, you know, 2016 we saw it was about 17 Republicans running for president. 2020 we had 29 Democrats running for president. In 2022 we're seeing what, like 13 Republicans running for governor. At some point in time, these primaries are becoming so overcrowded. We would need something more than just simply, you know, pick a candidate.
Right.
Because at what point in time do we end up with so many candidates that the winner is someone who gets even just a minor plurality, like 35%. And they're the winner for the whole nomination.
Right. No, Mike, I think
we need the 51% majority.
It's a really great point. And I think it's one of the things that when you sit and think about ranked choice voting, I think it applies more directly. The problem that you're trying to solve comes up more frequently in primary contests, and the ones you pointed out were some of the most glaring examples of that. Rob Ritchie, I wonder what your response is to Mike.
No, I think Mike is spot on. I think, you know, that is the place that we see in some ways a growing issue, because as we probably know, for the listeners or savvy people following our politics, you know, we're up to more than 90% of congressional races are safe in the general election because of the tilts, the partisan tilts of districts. And frankly, partisan tilts of states make most U.S. Senate and governor races safe as well, and so that the primary becomes more and more dominant. And last year, I would say the two most, you know, prominent elections we had in 2021 were the New York City mayor's race and the Virginia governor's race. And both of the winners of those were nominated with ranked choice voting contests. The Virginia Republicans actually implemented ranked choice voting themselves to pick Glenn Youngkin as their nominee in a 7-candidate field. Worked like a charm for them, and there's a lot of interest. The Virginia Republicans are doing it in a couple of their congressional nominations this year, too. And that's what New York City was using it for just in the primary. But it was very impactful in New York because they had open seats for almost everything and a really remarkable kind of change-oriented election for what came out of the primaries. And I think a lot of it was the positive incentives created by the system.
Representative Weiss, before we end, I want to ask if you know much about how popular this idea here is here in Michigan. I talked about the failure of the initiative in Massachusetts, but what do we know about what people in Michigan think about the idea of ranked choice voting?
Well, you know, as I've mentioned, in some local communities, Ann Arbor most recently, and then we had a caller from Ann Arbor on a little just moments ago, Ann Arbor passed ranked choice voting with, I believe, over 70% of people voting to approve that this past election year. And Ferndale has passed it since 2004 and has been attempting to implement it since 2004. And so I do think, you know, there is local governments, local communities have voted to implement this process. Some local clerks have indicated wanting to be able to do it. And I think really the point of this legislation is not to say every single community in Michigan must now implement ranked choice voting. The point of the legislation is to give the option. So if voters at the local level want to implement ranked choice voting, they have the ability to do so. And I know if that were implemented right away, Ann Arbor and Ferndale would be two communities that would immediately implement that. And we would be able to see at the local level how that process works. And I also just want to add, too, that I think, you know, thinking about this at a larger level and some of the national elections that we've talked about in large and other elections, implementing ranked choice voting, the really beauty of this isn't just increasing the democracy, the democratization of these elections, but also in helping, I believe, tone down a lot of this extreme partisan rhetoric that we've seen, because candidates really have to try to build consensus among voters in order to be able to be successful instead of just completely pandering to one side or the other. And so I do think that this could help with our national politics as well if we had the system more widely implemented.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking about voting, but we're going to switch subjects a little bit, talk about local elections here in Michigan and the help that clerks say they are going to need to make sure that balloting goes smoothly here in 2022. But I want to thank both Rob Ritchie and State Representative Regina Weiss for being with us to talk about ranked choice voting. Both of you, thanks very much for being here on Detroit Today.
Thank you. It's great to have a chance to talk with folks.
Thanks for having me.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk with two local clerks about the things that need to be fixed before we go to the polls in 2022. Also want to continue to hear from you on the phones about voting. Are you worried about the ability to hold safe and secure elections here in Michigan amid all of these challenges that face local administrators? 313-577-1019 is always the number on the phones. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page or to Twitter and put comments there. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.